It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is 1908 UTC, so if you were betting that I was going to be more than 10 minutes late today, you have lost. If you were betting more than 5 minutes, less than 0, I think you won. Anyway, sorry, I'm late. Friday and today, I've just been so absorbed by this problem, I lose track of time. I was supposed to go eat lunch, like, an hour and a half ago, and, I was like, oh, whoops, I was sucked into the problem, which I love. It's like my favorite thing to happen. Anyway, let's go on over here and pull up some news, because it is February the 27th, 2023. And, oh, man, we got a little bit of death and destruction, some sadness, not a lot. Howdy, Ratsu and Stug and X1. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in, being in comm. Oh, zucks. I accidentally hit X. It's like, I don't want to go play Dope Wars. Sorry. I do love that game. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, shout out to everybody in comm. If you want to hang out and chat during the show, all you got to do is SSH over to sdf.org. And then once you're there, launch comm, type COM, press enter, and then go to press G and then for go to, and then you type a non radio. Oh, shucks. Got a cough. Sorry. Okay. So let's go ahead and get with it because there's a lot of news. I'm sorry. I've made a habit of being late and I need to cut it out. I've been doing this not just for a non radio, but a lot of stuff. I've been doing just in time, and now I'm kind of slipping even more. I'm lacking discipline. So let's get on to it. Let's go ahead and start the way we pretty much always start, and that's in the world with world news. World news. All right. Man, I need to fix my Linux computer so that I can play those sounds again. Anyway, let's talk about death. At least 100 people. There are fears that more than 100 people, including children, have died after their boat sank. Where else? In the Mediterranean Sea, off the southern Italy. At least 62 migrants are confirmed to have died, with 12 children said to be among the victims, including a baby. The vessel, thought to carry some 200 people, broke apart while trying to land near Crotone on Sunday. People from Afghanistan, Pakistan, Somalia, Syria, Iran, and Iraq were said to be on board. Bodies were recovered from the beach at a nearby seaside resort in the Calabria region. And that is not the way you want to go out to enjoy the beach. And then, like, you're like, oh, I'm at this very exclusive resort. I'll go out here. And you get down there and it's like, oh, dear. The migrant tide has come in again. I don't know. I'm not sure what the experience would be like. I'm sure it's very traumatic for everyone involved. But anyway, the Coast Guard said 80 people had been found alive, including some who managed to reach shore after the sinking, meaning many more remain unaccounted for. One survivor was arrested on migrant trafficking charges. Many of those on board were thought to be from Pakistan. Its Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif on Monday said more than 24 Pakistanis were believed to be among the dead. As assistance and relocation operations continue, a group of survivors of the deadly shipwreck are struggling to come to terms with the loss of their loved ones. At a temporary reception center in the town of Isola di Capo Rizzuto, some of them were crying without speaking. Some were just staring into the void, wrapped in blankets. They are heavily traumatized, said Sergio Di Dato from charity Medicine Sans Frontieres, Doctors Without Borders. Some children have lost their whole family. We're offering them all the support we can. A 16-year-old boy from Afghanistan lost his 28-year-old sister, who died on the beach next to him. He can't find the strength to tell his parents. A 43-year-old man from Afghanistan survived with his son, but his wife and three other children did not make it. There's no end in sight. In 2013, people said never again to the little white coffins of Lampedusa. In 2015, they said never again in front of the lifeless body of a 2-year-old Syrian child on a beach. Now the words never again are not even pronounced anymore. We only hear no more departures. But unfortunately, people keep venturing on this journey and they keep dying. Speaking at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva on Monday morning, Secretary General Antonio Guterres called on countries to do more to help refugees and migrants and for safer travel routes and strengthened rescue operations. The Prime Minister of Italy on Sunday expressed deep sorrow and blamed the death on traffickers. It's inhumane to exchange the lives of men, women, and children for the price of the ticket, she said, the false perspective of a safe journey. The government is committed to preventing departures and with them unfolding of these tragedies and will continue to do so. Her right-wing government has vowed to stop migrants reaching Italy's shores and in the last few days pushed through a tough new law tightening the rules on rescues. The vessels, which have sailed from Turkey several days ago, is reported to have sunk after it crashed against rocks during rough weather. This will keep happening. It's really sad. It's a tragic loss of life. Hey, Connor H. Yeah, you're here just in time to talk about all the death and destruction, sadness going on. It's kind of one of those weird things where it's like the West doesn't want to pay back for any of its exploitation of the East, you know, or of other countries. I don't know. It's such a complex mess, and it's so sad. But anyway, we will, carry on as it will, as much as we can help those that, you know, around us. Tensions are high in where else? In, the West Bank. Israeli settlers have carried out at least 300 attacks, including shootings and arson, and a rampage through Palestinian villages in the Nablus area of the occupied West Bank, Palestinian officials say, and what's been described as a pogrom. A 37-year-old Palestinian man identified as Sami al-Aktash was shot in the stomach on Sunday night by settlers protected by the Israeli army in the village of Zatara, south of Nablus. He died of his injuries. The father of five returned home 5 days ago after volunteering to help earthquake survivors in Turkey. At least 390 Palestinians were injured in the settler rampage across the villages of Huwarta, Zatara. Oh, it's a whole tour. A whole crew of people walked by me. Zatara, Burin, Asira, Ali, Kabbalah, all south of Nablus, the Palestinian Red Crescent said, adding that the majority were wounded from tear gas fire by the Israeli army, as well as smoke inhalation from wildfires set by the settlers. Palestinian media reported stabbings and attacks with metal rods and rocks. Yesterday, we witnessed a new level of colonizing settler crimes where they aggressively attacked everything, according to Saddam Omar, a resident of Huwara, describing the violence as barbaric. I mean, literally, shops, people, supermarkets, houses, trees, cars, car garages, he said. They tried to enter the houses. They burned almost everything. Omar added that the settlers were 100% protected by the Israeli army. At least 30 Palestinian homes and 100 cars were set fire by settlers. The attack was unprecedented in terms of size and the short amount of time in which it took place, adding that the Israeli army was a partner in the attacks. On Monday afternoon, an Israeli was shot and wounded by a Palestinian gunman in the West Bank, according to the Israeli army. The army said the attacker opened fire at an Israeli car near the Palestinian city of Jericho. He continued driving and fired at a second car, hitting a motorist. Israeli medics said the man was in critical condition. The army set up roadblocks and is searching for the assailant. There's just a lot of photos and tragic more stuff out of here. It's just too dark. Hello, howdy, MH Cat. Engineering call, yeah. You never know. All you gotta do is let something break that you didn't think about or forgot about. Anyway, I just don't want to ever forget the people of Palestine and all the craziness that Israel's doing. It's just one of those things that is easy to get washed out because, just like Syria, we don't talk about Syria hardly at all, even here. And there's tragedies happening there all the time. So it's rough. All right. Well, the UN has suspended flights in eastern Congo after a helicopter was shot at. A United Nations helicopter came under heavy fire in eastern Congo, bringing the mission to suspend flights in the conflict-riddled region. A helicopter returning from Walikale to the regional capital Goma in northern Kivu province came under attack for 10 minutes last week, but was able to land safely in Goma with all three crew and 10 passengers unharmed. Flights have been suspended on specific routes in the region until the security situation can be reassessed, said the UN. The helicopter delivers assistance to some of Congo's most remote areas, which would otherwise be inaccessible because of poor roads or insecurity. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack, but this is the second time this month that a UN mission's helicopter came under fire in the province. So, the fighting has displaced more than 5 million people, threatening many civilians with starvation, according to several aid groups. It's a very sad, troubling news there coming to us out of the Congo. Anyway, sorry, it's just sad times. All right, let's talk about cocaine, the war on drugs. I watched Cocaine Bear this weekend. That was an interesting film. It was fun. And then I watched a movie called Grizzly and Grizzly 2. Both of those movies, not so great, but kind of fun in a bizarro kind of way. Anyway, police in Ecuador found almost 8.8 tons of cocaine in a shipment of bananas bound for Belgium. Uh-oh, Belgium? Police Commander Fausto Salinas said the drugs would have been worth an estimated $330 million had they reached the destination. Ecuador has become one of the main transit countries for cocaine produced in Peru and Colombia. Last year, more than 200 tons of the drug were seized in the Andean country, much of it in the port of Guayaquil. With Ecuador, the world's largest exporter of bananas, smugglers often try to hide their illegal consignments among the fruit, which is shipped from Guayaquil to destinations all over the globe. The latest haul was found inside a container full of banana cases destined for Belgium. The seizure coincides with a visit by Belgium's Interior Minister, Annelies Verlinden, and European Commissioner for Home Affairs, Ylva Johansson, to Ecuador and Colombia. The two officials want to strengthen cooperation with the two South American nations, in the fight against drug trafficking. Belgium has become the country where the largest quantities of cocaine have been seized within the European Union in recent years, with the port of Antwerp the main entry point for the illegal drug. let's see what we got going on here. let's see what we got. Cocaine Bear. Yep. Cocaine, maybe. State of Modern Cinema for Grown-Ups. Yeah. It's pretty rough. But yeah, Antwerp. It's a great port. Got all sorts of cool... If the Makarech Express, I guess, is that what it's called? The Makarech Express in Dofors. Anyway, we've got about 9 minutes to go, so I want to remind you, you're listening to a off-the-rails version of News to Me, with me, DJ Marcus, and you are listening to a non-radio powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you. So thanks for being here. At 1930 UTC, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And at 20 hours today is Harry Larry and the Mix Remix. So stick around for that. It is a fun time. Harry Larry does a great show on Monday and Friday. Mondays is Mix Remix, and Friday is Something Blue. Both a lot of fun. So while we're talking about Europe, Sunak says that their deal with Northern Ireland is done. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak gives a statement in the House of Commons after unveiling a deal with the EU on post-Brexit trading arrangements in Northern Ireland. Earlier, he and EU Chief Ursula von der Leyen hailed a decisive breakthrough on the deal to resolve an impasse over the Northern Ireland Protocol. Sunak said the plan for green and red lanes for goods into Northern Ireland means we've removed any sense of a border in the Irish Sea. He said the NI, or Northern Ireland Assembly, would be able to stop some EU laws on goods applying by using what he called a Stormont break. But von der Leyen stressed this was an emergency mechanism and the European Court of Justice would have the final say on single market issues. The PM is seeking the support of pro-Brexit MPs in his own party as well as the Democratic Unionist Party. The DUP is currently blocking power sharing in Northern Ireland over the dispute, but has said it will study the deal. Sunak has said that MPs will get a vote on the deal when appropriate. So, very interesting that there's progress being made. I thought this was going to be at an impasse for a long time. Ratsu pointing out, the oven-ready deals are done. Record! Ah, we're all over the place. My brain, I tell you what, I got so sucked into my work that I'm having trouble pulling out of it. I'm in a weird mind, weird state. It's kind of funny. So we got to talk about some destruction because I missed this. So we got to bring it back. You know, there's a lot of people that are suffering, and then you gotta, you know, and then the world likes to kick them when they're down, and then do it again. A magnitude 5.6 earthquake has hit eastern Turkey, killing at least one person and wounding dozens, while causing some damaged buildings to collapse. Monday's earthquake becomes the latest major tremor to rock southern Turkey, as the region rebuilds from earlier massive quakes that killed more than 50,000 people across southern Turkey and northwest Syria. The latest quake was centered in the town of Yeşilyurt, in Malatya province, the country's disaster management agency said, adding that one person was killed when a factory collapsed in Kahramanmaraş, the epicenter of the magnitude 7.8 earthquake that hit the region on February 6th, and 69 others were injured. Yeşilyurt's mayor, Mehmet Sinar, told Habertürk television that a number of buildings in the town collapsed, including a four-story building where a father and daughter were trapped. Sinar said the pair had entered the damaged building to collect belongings. The agency has said that 32 people were saved in Malatya after the latest tremor. The television images showed the man being carried on a stretcher into an ambulance while rescue teams were trying to make contact with his daughter inside the building. Turkey's president has acknowledged the shortcomings of his government's response to the February 6th earthquakes as he spoke at a news conference in Adıyaman, one of the provinces hardest hit by the disaster. Earthquake was felt across the country. Nearly 10,000 aftershocks have been reported since February 6th. Turkey said about 865,000 people are living in tents, 23,000 are in container homes, while 376,000 were in student dormitories and public guest houses outside the earthquake zone. Hoo-wee! It's a lot of death, a lot of destructions. Let's see. MH Cat points out, there's no way the DUP is going to go back to school if Sinn Féin are the prefects. You know, I'm not going to say it's wrong. It's possible, MH Cat. I don't know. This is what all I had was kind of that blurb I got from the Guardian. I'm not super up to speed on even what the protocol was that they had before. I understand. Yeah, there was already a concern. We talked about yesterday, I think, there was a new IRA, bombing or something like that had happened. So it was like, oh no, troubling times ahead. We've got about 4 minutes to go, so I'm going to run through the remaining bits of news. Not anything too crazy, but first, I'll mention nuclear news. Also, shout out to Publius. He usually does a step further out on Saturdays. I think there's a scheduling or some kind of conflict, so a step further out may end up airing during Here Now the Words. I'm not sure. Tune in, look at the schedule, check your local listings for show times. But if you miss that show, you might check there, or it might be in the archives. I would go check it out. That's usually a fun show. Anyway, Argentina is looking to heavy water exports. What? That's right. Argentina will export some of the heavy water produced at its recommissioned Neuquén production plant for scientific and medical purposes. Most of the heavy water will go to support the country's 3 nuclear power plants. The plant may also be modified to produce clean fuels like ammonia and hydrogen. The plant at Neuquén supplied Argentina's nuclear program from 1993, but was mothballed in 2017. With a capacity of 200 tons per year, it was the world's largest such facility, and it remains one of the most advanced, said Adriana Cercas, president of the Comisión Nacional de Energía Atómica, or CNEA. As part of the delegation of the facility, Secretary of Strategic Affairs Mercedes Marco Del Pont said Argentina has a wealth of scientific and technological capacity in the nuclear sector, which creates opportunities not only for the energy transition, but to multiply its development benefits for the country as a whole. An agreement's already been made between CNEA and the government of Neuquén Province to bring the plant back into operation. They jointly own the plant, with Neuquén holding a controlling stake. So, pretty exciting stuff, I think. I think it's always neat when stuff comes back online. Hopefully we can get ramped up and get our nuclear power safely rolled out before it's too late. What else? The Dilbert Comet Strip guy got dropped by like seven, like a large, it's not, you're not going to see Dilbert in many newspapers now. Elon Musk poked at or kind of taunted the two latest round of layoffs. They laid off 200 more people. And he said, hey, today's the day, the first day of the rest of your life, which kind of sucks for them. Steven Seagal was honored by Vladimir Putin with a friendship award. And toxic waste removal from Ohio, it was suspended as far as like shipping it out of the state. They were shipping stuff down to Houston. There was a place in Houston, Texas, that was collecting the water. They were going to try and treat it there. But now it's going to be treated domestically because they don't want to transport this toxic waste spill. They don't want to drive it across the country and then maybe have another toxic waste spill.